incident 10 days ago. After examining CCTV, detectives believe Abdul Azidi may have entered the water on the night of the attack in Clapham. Footage shows the 35-year-old leaning over the railings of Chelsea Bridge. Our reporter Thomas Moore is there.
We saw a police rib appear beneath the arches coming from the Westminster direction, heading west upstream on the incoming tide, and they spent some time searching the water around here. There are some moored boats. They also took a look underneath the arches of the bridge itself.
Hamas says at least 28 people have died in airstrikes on the southern Gaza city of Rafah. US officials say a ground offensive without a plan to keep people safe would be disastrous. A 47-year-old man's been arrested on suspicion of murder after a woman in her 60s was found dead in Chelmsford. Police say she was discovered in Great Baddow yesterday. The British Medical Association says it's prepared to call off a five-day strike in England later this month in return for an increased strike mandate. It wants more time for talks, but the government's previously said it won't negotiate while junior doctors plan to walk out. The Met Office has issued two new yellow weather warnings for rain affecting the southwest and east of England. Both kick in this evening. Sport: Manchester City can go top of the Premier League for a short time at least with a win against Everton this lunchtime. They start the day 2 points behind leaders Liverpool, who host Burnley at Anfield later. Scotland get the action underway in Rugby Union Six Nations when they host France at Murrayfield. Coach Gregor Townsend knows it'll be a difficult afternoon.
We've had some cracking games with them in the last 12 months, and we'll have to be at our best level physically.
England face Wales at Twickenham in today's other match. England have named an unchanged lineup for the first time in 4 years. That's the latest. I'm Tanya Snuggs.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon. How are we?
Wait out in the way out, the stars keep on trying to shine.
some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Yes, Saturday afternoon on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you? You're listening to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. Hope you're well. Big thanks to Keith for another cracking show. Do you know what? I almost wish sometimes you could hear what we're talking about when the mics are down. Honestly, we laugh continuously. What a legend that man is. Anyway, I've got a great show for you today. And as well as all the usual features, the Danny's Choice cover from another Take 5. And obviously the Phoenix film and DVD review with Mr. Mark Searby. I'm looking forward to welcoming Frankie from the Chelmsford Amateur Operatic and Dramatic Society, who's going to be coming in after 1 o'clock today to talk about their production of Kiss Me Kate. And also celebrating 100 years of the society. Cannot wait. So any questions, you know what to do, you want to get in touch, you can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com. Any requests, any shout-outs, or any comments or questions for our guest today, Frankie, do let us know. We would love to hear from you. This next track's brand new. Mr. Calvin Harris, what a return to form this is. This is the Funk Wave Remix with ZSA, and this is The Weeknd.
You say you got a girl, yeah, you want me, how you want me when you got a girl? A feeling is reckless, of knowing it's selfish, knowing I'm desperate, getting on in and love, falling all over love, I do it till it's last.
Make a losing mind. At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savor unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Yeah, just a reminder, we'll probably be moving things around slightly on the show today because we've got a special guest coming in, so we're just trying to fit everything in, but bear with us. We will get through everything, I can assure you. Now, last week, I played the brand new song that was literally hot off the press from Billy Joel from his brand new album. This is the lead single, which is called Turn the Lights Back On, and this went down such a storm last week. I came into some messages saying, please, could I play this again? Absolutely, we're loving this.
Please open the door. Nothing is different. We've been here before. Pacing these halls, trying to talk over the silence. And pride sticks out his tongue, laughs at the portrait that we become. Stuck in a frame, unable to change. I was wrong. I'm late, but I'm here right now. Though I used to be romantic, I'd forgot somehow. Time can make you blind, but I see you now. As we're laying in the darkness, did I wait too long to turn the lights back on? Here, stuck on a hill, outsiders inside the home that we built. The cold settles in, it's been a long winter and different. And maybe you love me, maybe you don't. Maybe you learn to, and maybe you won't. You've had enough, but I won't give up on you.
Somehow Is there still time for forgiveness? Won't you tell me how? I can't read your mind, but I see you now. As we're laying in the darkness, did I wait too long to turn the lights back on? I'm here right now. Yes, I'm here right now. Looking for forgiveness.
Phoenix FM travel news.
Okay, your first travel update of the day from me today. Roads are looking pretty good at the moment, I have to say. Brentwood High Street, as usual, is exceptionally busy, but that's weekend traffic. As you leave Gallows Corner on the A12, heading towards the M25 junction, there appears to be a broken down vehicle, causing some delays by the B&Q along there. Traffic's still moving, just slower than usual. There are the ongoing roadworks as you leave the Brook Street roundabout onto the M25 going northbound. So be mindful of that. It might well be busy. And also the entrance to Barley Farm, Barleylands Farm Park, is quite busy at the moment as well, from what I can see. I think they've got a special opening day there or something today, which is causing some problems. Now, on the public transport network, there are service alterations on C2C on the Basildon line, which means there's engineering work between Liverpool Street and Barking. So they're utilising Fenchurch Street for additional trains, which will call additionally at West Ham. So if you are thinking of using C2C, and do check those out, because there is a timetable alteration in place. Services on Greater Anglia at the moment are showing okay. However, London Underground, there are major problems on almost every line at the moment, so bear with me. On the Central line, there are severe delays. And there is minor delays, there are minor delays, sorry, on the Elizabeth line, Hammersmith and City line, Jubilee line, Metropolitan line, and the Piccadilly line. There is a planned closure for the Waterloo and City line, the Docklands Light Railway, and the District line as well. So obviously that's got a significant impact on people thinking of travelling. But do check with TfL before heading out, and I'll be able to update you throughout the show.
You want movies? These two are in my circle of trust. We got movie reviews on Phoenix FM. That's right.
Saturday afternoon means only one thing. Mark Searby with the Phoenix Film and DVD Review. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Spencer, thank you. How about yourself?
Yes, not bad. Not bad at all. Looking forward to what delights you've got for us today.
Well, I'm going to body slam you, and then I'm going to suplex you, and then I'm going to elbow drop you off the top rope as well.
Steady. Okay.
That's just our normal Saturday night, I think. Anyway,
it so, is. Or, yes. Or Friday night. I'm not, I'm flexible.
So, all of those are wrestling moves. And the first movie we're going to talk about this week is a movie that is in cinemas now. It's called The Iron Claw. And it is a true story about the inseparable Von Erich brothers who made history in the world of professional wrestling in the 1980s. Now, I hold my hand up here and say I am a lapsed WWE addict. I was obsessed with it throughout the 90s and into the noughties as well.
Are you old enough to remember the early 80s Saturday wrestling in the afternoon? So your Giant Haystacks, your Big Daddies.
I do remember. Yeah, I do remember that. And that's what got me into wrestling. And then obviously WWE, at that time WWF, became really popular here around 88, 89, something like that, and started to take over from obviously the ITV wrestling for a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, I grew up with wrestling. That's the thing. It was one of the sports that I grew up with. But what about you, Spencer? A WWE fan at any point or not?
The answer's going to be no, but if it's on, I would watch it and I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time it was WWE, WWF, wasn't it? And all of those types of things. And I have interviewed, I'm trying to think of his name, a couple of years ago on this show, there was a wrestling event at the Brentwood Centre. And I was asked to interview one of the wrestlers. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a bit strange because I didn't know anything about him. My Lord, the following he had, it was just... You know, when I arrived at the studio, there were sort of a small, you know, maybe 10 or 15 people hanging around outside. And I got out of the car thinking, oh, they're waiting for me. And sadly not. But they were kind of, you know, they've got a real following, these wrestlers, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
It's really big, yeah.
It is.
And he was a fascinating guy, really interesting.
Yeah.
And he was really committed to it, so yeah.
Well, the thing is with... wrestling now, it owes a huge debt of gratitude to the Von Erich family as well. They were a little bit before my time, maybe 6 or 7 years, something like that. But I knew a lot about them. I know a lot about them as well because of their history with the sport. I also know about the supposed curse that the family had on them as well. And this film not only tells that story, but also the story of the troubles inside the family. So these boys were brought up by their father, who was a very famous wrestler in his own regard, were groomed from a young age to be wrestlers and do what their dad couldn't, basically, which is to be the best. And the film certainly paints a picture that their father was living vicariously through his sons and forced them into situations that maybe they didn't want to do or were not ready, but he was desperate for them to do it. And
there I was going to ask you if they wanted to go into the industry or whether or not they were kind of cajoled into it.
It's, well, look, it's one of those things of, you know, it's the only thing you know. So, of course, you're probably going to go in that direction as well. And especially when your father is in that entertainment field already.
It's your reality, isn't it? You don't know anything else. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So there are times in this movie where you see one or more of the brothers really wanting to push back on their father, but are so afraid for fear of what he would do to them and actually how much power he had over them in terms of whether they would be ranked higher on the bill or, you know, whoever they were wrestling, we could swap it around immediately. You know, there was things like that. So the film shows the highs, which are very few, and the lows, which are a lot for the brothers. I think the problem with the film is that it never gets as in-depth as it needs to when looking at this family, either as a collective or individually. So Kevin Von Erich in the film is the central character. We never really get much more than fleeting glimpses with the other brothers, even though you see them have these moments in the movie that you hope are expanded on to greater understanding than just these little moments. And then, sorry, this is not really a spoiler, to be honest with you, but their untimely death. But that never really comes. Instead, it's left to Kevin's story to portray how those lives and deaths affect the rest of the family. I never felt like we truly got under the skin of any of the brothers at any point in this film. And having known a lot about the Von Erich family from before watching this film, through watching documentaries and obviously the history that they've had with the wrestling fraternity in the US as well, there is a lot left out. One brother, who wasn't a wrestler, is completely omitted from the story. The eldest brother, who died when he was six, is only seen right at the end. I just don't think there is enough here about the entire family. It's missing so much from their lives, professionally and personally, that I felt it came across as like a second-rate biopic. And it kind of took a... I felt like it took a lot of people who were watching it, like they already knew the story of the Von Erich brothers. And they'd go, well, they know that, so you don't need to delve into that at all. When in actual fact, you do. You know, you need to understand the supposed curse and how the eldest brother died and what that did to the rest of the brothers. And then when the other brothers died, what that did to them. I think this is only barely scratching the surface. I think there is probably going to be a lot of confusion for people who go and watch this, who have no idea who the Von Erich family were at all. Sorry, still are. There's one of them still alive. And their position in wrestling, but also what they went through as wrestlers. It's all too brief. That there's not enough meat on the bone here.
And they sound like key events that kind of shape their legacy, really. So they shouldn't be overlooked. Is that right?
Exactly. That's the thing. They shouldn't have been overlooked. This movie should have been longer, I think. And just going into greater detail. It's such a shame because this family deserved better. There is some really good documentaries out there about the Von Erich families. That are miles better than this. I came away thinking this is a really disappointing biopic. And, you know, look, Zac Efron plays Kevin Von Erich in this movie. You know, he's the central character here. I thought he was wasted. I thought they were all wasted, to be honest with you. It's the type of surface level biopic that is perfectly fine on TV. But as a big screen thing, it doesn't work. You need to know those moments that have really affected them.
This is not said with any disrespect, but is it kind of like, you know, a Sunday afternoon or a midday afternoon Channel 5 movie? You know, those that appear and disappear.
I think it is to a certain degree.
Yeah.
It does feel like that. Very much, you know, the lack of real depth to this family and to the characters themselves. I was just hugely disappointed with this. And as I said, I knew a lot about this family anyway. And I just came away thinking, there's not enough here for somebody like me, but there's also nowhere near enough here for people who have no idea about this Von Erich family either. So disappointing for me, really disappointing.
It's a wasted opportunity by the sounds of it, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately so. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of fellow film critics who really like this movie, and there's a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth that this didn't get nominated for, you know, awards-worthy stuff. I don't think it deserves it. I really don't. There's so much better movies out there.
Interesting. Right, that's one not for the list then. Right, what's the next cab off the rank?
We've got a British movie now in cinemas. It's called Gassed Up. This is about Ash, who's trying to earn money to raise his 14-year-old sister and send his mother to rehab. He gets caught up with an organised crime ring led by a young and charismatic Albanian immigrant. So this is set in London. It's in the modern day as well. And I was really hoping that a London set teenage / 20 something crime flick was going to do something different. It doesn't. From the off, this movie falls into too many cliches early on. There's too many stories in here that have been told before and have been done much better as well. I mean, it's not all bad. I thought the storyline with Ash trying to help his sister and his mother had some really good potential in there. You know, here's a guy who's trying to make money any way he can in order to keep his sister away from the criminal life that he's become involved in. He's also trying to help his mum, who is in the grip of drug addiction. And there's some that's some very real storytelling. There's a scene in the film, actually, where his sister gets her phone stolen while she's out walking from a moped gang, which is what her brother is part of. She's left a couple of miles from home without money, without a mobile phone. She can't contact her brother anyway. And the thing, I picked that scene out because there is a real sense of the struggles that the family are going through and why Ash is doing what he is doing. That, to me, is when the film is at its best. It's showing you how tough life is for everybody there.
It's making it real, really.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. You know, it's meant to be showing you that. But then nothing really comes of that after. It's a scene that I felt needed to have a longer impact. It needed to go darker, and it needed to get the sense of the struggles. And I think herein lies the problems that the film has, is that it doesn't spend long enough developing characters outside of Ash, all the situations. So all of it feels very lightweight, without any real sense of purpose for anybody. Instead, it reverts to a lot of tired crime cliches set around black British people, you know, especially those in London as well. We've seen these types of stories so many times and done so many times better. It doesn't help either. And look, I'm not a prude at all, but it doesn't help with the amount of swearing in here. I get that it's meant to be a generational talk, you know, the way that these guys would talk. It's a dialogue thing. I get that. But it just becomes so grating. It's relentless in this. It's just another idea in a long line of ideas that don't work.
This is one of the stereotypes, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt. But
yeah, sure.
It's kind of, you know, whenever they portray, this sounds like it's being like filming by numbers, really, doesn't it? Mm. And it's kind of, you know, when they portray people from the streets and street gangs, they all quite often you see them as every other word is a cuss word. And and yes, of course, that goes on and they talk like that. But it's almost like a stereotype now.
Yes.
And it's, whereas in reality, gang warfare is, you know, your quiet average young teenager who's been embroiled in this sort of things, and you never would suspect it. And it's kind of, you know, it's not these out there, like, you know, wannabe. There are, of course, there are those type of characters, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't have to be effing and blind in every other word, etc., to kind of be that sort of character. It's the quieter ones that get embroiled in all of that kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah. That, see, this is the thing, is that this constant swearing, it's just needless. You know, it's that, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And as I said, I get that, you know, it's a generational talk type thing, but it's too much. It's too much. It's overwhelming the film for no reason. And, you know, the script could be amazing. It's not. But there's some terrible acting here. Some really terrible acting. I'm not going to single anybody out, but really terrible. The only one I will single out is the guy who plays Ash. He's really good. Like, he's a talent to watch. Stephen Adobola. Apologies if I pronounce that incorrectly. But he's really good here. He just
is it a cast of unknowns?
And there's a few people in there who you might recognise from just their faces, basically, from doing little bits here and there, you know, mainly TV and whatever else. But the majority of it is unknowns, yes. I just think, do you know what? I just came away from this movie thinking how terrible it was. And I saw this at a screening with, it was in a small screening room, actually. There was probably about 30 other critics there and half the room left.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, people just continued to leave. I wish I would have spoken to some of them afterwards to find out why they left. But yeah, people continued to leave. And now, to me, I won't leave a movie. I just don't. You know, there's always going to be something in there that I think is worth picking out. You know, that's why I said the guy who plays Ash, he's worth speaking about because he's pretty good. But the rest of this movie is just terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It really is. It's so cliched. I couldn't believe how cliched it was, really.
It'd be interesting to see when come the notices come out, won't it? Because it's going to be kind of, it sounds like, from what you've experienced, it's going to be across the board a panned, isn't it?
Possibly. As yeah. I said, there might be people out there who like it, but for me, it never got going, and instead it was doing too many things that we'd seen before and not doing it in a really good way either.
What a shame. Yeah, we had a really positive couple of weeks, hadn't we?
And now, yeah.
Yeah, but never mind. It keeps things fresh. Okay, and what do we have for next week? Anything in line yet?
So next week we will be talking about Bob Marley, One Love, which is the biopic.
Yes, seeing this everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about a French movie called The Taste of Things. Now, this is a romance that I think is more about the romance of food than the romance between the two central characters. There's a lot of food. If you like your food, well, just
I'm
listen next week.
Already, trust me. I'm invested already.
Yeah, so The Taste of Things we will talk about as well next week. And then if you subscribe to the podcast, we will talk about a British film called How to Have Sex. It is not an instruction manual, before anybody says anything like that. But some people who listen to our best of the year from 2023 will remember that I put this in my top 10 films of the year. It's finally coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. We're finally going to get to talk about it.
You're going to tell us all how we can have sex next week, yeah?
That's going to be a different conversation, Spencer.
Yeah. As we said, it's all about education and always learning.
Yes, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, looking forward to it. So thanks very much. Really appreciate this week. Have a great weekend. And I will speak to you next week.
Will do. You too.
Take care.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a Hallmark care home.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem? talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytalford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Mammy was a pit mix, she was just skin and bones. Daddy found in a deep ditch on his way home. He said she hopped right up when he opened his door. When you feel that kind of feeling, son, you found yours. The age of 17, worked all summer long, washing cars and pulling weeds from your neighbor's lawn. Well, it wasn't no king ranch, but she was paid for. And you find that kind of freedom, buddy, you found yours. Stole that kiss on her daddy's front porch. That feeling that you're feeling, buddy, you found yours. Turns to two little feet running up and down the hall. Now it's plain as day what you're down here for.
Wonderful Luke Combs there where you found yours. I don't know if you saw the Grammys highlights this week, but he invited Tracy Chapman on to perform Fast Car. Check it out on YouTube or something. It is glorious. So beautiful. What a performance. And the version is great. It really is. Now, as I said, moving things around today because we've got our special guest in to the studio after one today, which is Frankie from the Chelmsford Operatic and Amateur Dramatic Society. Looking forward to seeing them talking about their production of Kiss Me Kate and celebrating 100 years of being open as an organisation. But before then, we're heading up towards the news. So I'm going to play Danny's Choice today. Danny has picked an anthem for today. One of the big hitters of music, still going strong. And it's, I know it's slightly contentious to say, but I prefer this band to his previous band. I do. This is Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
One, two, three.
4.
City, kids are looking pretty, but isn't it a pity?
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.